Well, the first challenge is over. I did not trip falling up the stairs. That's always a fear of mine, and we were able to bypass that. I am not a preacher, so if you're expecting the typical sermon, that's not me. We're just going to talk for a little bit. I'm much more comfortable in a classroom setting, so I'm just going to pretend that you are all students and that you're patiently listening, and I'm just trying to share some things with you from my heart tonight as it relates to the subject of how strong are your roots. I want to start tonight by directing your thoughts to Acts chapter 2. And if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn to Acts chapter 2. This is becoming, the more and more I read this particular part of Scripture, it's becoming one of my favorite parts of Scripture because it is the beginning of the church, and it's very important kind of setting the stage of what we're going to talk about tonight. It starts in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as to had any need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Don't start that just yet. Wait. Back up one. So where do I fit in what we just read? Because we are the church. And what you don't read in these verses is an age. It doesn't say that just teenagers were there. It doesn't say that 20s and 30s were there. It doesn't say that 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. It says the church. They were together. And we need each other, don't we? We need the example of our older members who have lived life and they've done it well. And they've prepared themselves and they're faithful. But we also need the energy of the young folks that spurs us older ones up. And we kind of draw from their energy, the desire that they have to serve, to sing, to do different activities. We need that. We need each other. But what about us folks in the middle? Where do we fit in? You've got children and teens that build up the church. You've got young professionals who build up the church. You've got young married couples who build up the church. You've got empty nesters, which I'm getting pretty close to myself, who build up the church. You've got grandparents, and you've got senior members who build up the church. This is a pie that every single piece is essential to the church, to each other. All are important. I want to talk specifically tonight to a group of folks. We'll call them young professionals just for lack of a better term. Where do you fit into this? So think about where you are in life. Just graduated college. Maybe you have a significant other. Maybe you don't. Maybe you have a job. Maybe you don't. Maybe you live with your parents still. Maybe. Maybe you don't. Where does church fit in with your plan? It should be first. It should be first. Because this is your opportunity to stretch your legs a little bit. This is your opportunity to show who you are and what you're going to be. This is your opportunity to mentor those folks who are just a little bit younger than you. And it's your chance to ask questions from those folks that are just a little bit older than you for a thought. So what should you do? Put God first in your life. Be in church. Be in church. It's important. There is a place here for you. You can get involved in the local work of the church. We have a Bible class that's specifically for you. Go. Check it out. Grow together, because that is so important. Some of you are teaching, and I'm so thankful for that. Some of you have been teaching for a long time, and I'm so thankful for that. What are you doing? You're putting yourself to work in the Lord's church, and you're making a difference in fellowship. How important is that? How important is it for folks of the same age to just kind of hang out, talk about things? Why not have a devotional in the middle of those things and spur each other on spiritually? Those are all things that you can do. But at some point, maybe you decide to get married. Some of you will decide to get married. Some of you will start to have children. You know that just about 30% of the church here at Henderson is made up of folks between the ages of 0 and 18. Think about that. 30% of the church. Another 30% of the church is made up of folks 60 and above. And then the other 40 is folks between the ages of 21 and 59. 30% are children. Now, as parents, you got a job. You've got a job to do. And it's a very important job, because what are you doing? You're teaching the kids. I sat by my friend Briella this morning, and as Matt was preaching, and he said, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. She did. And it blew my mind. It shouldn't have, but it did. And I'll tell you why. There's a lot of kids that can't do that. There's a lot of kids today in your home, probably, maybe, that cannot pick up God's word and flip to a specific chapter. Why? Let me talk. Now, yes, we go to Bible class. Aren't our Bible class teachers supposed to teach them the Bible? Sure. But they cannot be a replacement for mom and dad. They cannot be a replacement for mom and dad. You have to teach your kids the Bible. And if you don't, you're setting them up for spiritual failure. One of the pictures that Jared used last week in his presentation was the picture of the tree with two sticks attached to it with rope. You remember that picture? That's mom and dad. That's mom and dad. And you're holding your child up, and you are training your child to know who God is. And you're helping them to learn who God is and who Jesus the Son is. And what did Jesus the Son do? And how did you share that message? That's what you're teaching your children. That's what you should be teaching your children. So, for those of you who are newlyweds, enjoy that time. We have some newlyweds here at church. Put God first. Put God first in your marriage. If God's not present in your marriage, you will know it. So include Him in your marriage. Have devotional time together. Have prayer time together. Go to church together. Get involved in class together. And you have something to look forward to, which is what I just talked about with all those parenting challenges. That's what newlyweds have to look forward to. So some of you may want to wait a little bit until you're more ready yourself to raise children. Parents, we've got to teach our children. And we've got to help our children grow by leading them in example, helping them to develop their faith, which is their roots. And I would say this to all of us who are parents, even those who are 80 years old and are still parents, listen to this. Your job is never done. Your job is never done as a parent. Love your children enough to correct them to encourage them to change their behavior, to encourage them to model their life after Christ, no matter how old they are, no matter how old you are. That's important. So, how do we do this? For the next few minutes, I just want to give 6 suggestions. This is not an exhaustive list. 6 suggestions on how we can all, whether we are 10 or 80, but especially those of us who may be in that range of, say, 25 to 45, how can we make sure that our roots are strong? Number 1, hide God's word in your heart. That sounds simple, right? Hide God's word in your heart. What am I talking about? I'm talking about picking up this book. I'm talking about picking up this book, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but I'm talking daily. And it could be a reading plan. It could be a daily devotional book that you go through. You may have specific passages that you just really want to focus on. But you need to hide God's word in your heart, and you need to do it every day. Why? We have someone who is our enemy, who loves to trick us, who loves to tempt us, who loves to put things in our path to make us stumble. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Again in verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And in verse 131, I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Where are the commandments of God found? They're found in Scripture. And if we are to know what the commandments of God are, we have to find where they are, and we have to find them in the Scripture, which is the Word of God, which is our Bible, and we have to do that every single day. It doesn't matter if you are 10, if you are 20, or if you are 90. Read your Bible every day. Why? Listen to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Read your Bible every day, slowly. Digest it. Memorize it. Stamp it on your heart. Make this a priority. Number 2, pray. Pray a lot. Stop right here and ask yourself this question. How's my prayer life? Have you prayed today? How deep did you pray today? Did you offer God thanksgiving? Did you ask Him for mercy? Ask Him for forgiveness. We should be praying a lot. You know, prayer is a two-way communication. It is a relationship between us and God the Father. It is communion with God. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you pray like that? Do you get down on your knees and beg God the Father to grant you mercy? Or do you talk to Him at all? See, if our roots are to be deep, if our spiritual roots are going to be deep, we've got to be talking
to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Prayer is a privilege.
Why is it a privilege?
Because we're talking to a God who created us. Who created us in His image, as Genesis 1 says. Who loves us. Who knows every hair on the top of our head. Please, no bald jokes. He knows everything about us. Why would we not want to talk to Him? So pray. Pray a lot. This one may be hard for some folks. Love and pray for your enemies. Clint prayed for that in his prayer. Love and pray for your enemies. Why does that have anything to do with strong roots? Well, it has everything to do with strong roots. Think about what Jesus Christ did. What did He say on the cross as He was being railed, and after He had been nailed to the tree, after He was mocked, spit on, cursed upon, all these different things, what did He say? Father, forgive them. Well, they don't know what they're doing. Love your enemies. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. Starting in verse 43. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Not even the tax collectors do the same. And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We need God's help in order to forgive and love our enemies. You see, we need to see people as God sees people. People are going to hurt us. People are going to say things to us that will just rip us down to the core. People are going to do things to us. Sometimes intentional, sometimes maybe unintentional, but it's going to hurt. And we have to see people as Jesus sees people. And we have to love them. And we have to forgive them. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive their trespasses. We need to love and pray for our enemies. And we need to make Jesus the boss of our life. Think back to the life of Paul. He started out, we read in Scripture for the first time, Saul. And he's holding the cloaks of the men who are stoning Stephen, what we call the first Christian martyr. And we know that Saul's job, his task, was to go and to persecute Christians. And then he has an intervention, if you will, with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He's struck blind. He's told what to do. He goes in and he's taught the truth. And he straightway goes out and begins preaching that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith through the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Jesus was the boss of His life. Is He the boss of your life? Is He the boss of your life? Now, we all carry, most of us in the room, carry the name Christian. Do we take that serious? Sure, we're here Sunday night. We're going to be here Wednesday evening. But what about Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Do people see us as Christian? If they don't, it's not their fault. It's ours. Because we're not showing that Jesus is the boss of our life.
Christ has to be seen living in us. Our actions, our words, our personality.
This one may be hard too. Receive correction from God and others. How does God correct us?
Right here.
When you read this book, when you start measuring it up against your life, I don't know about you, but I come up short a lot. So God's correcting me. He's telling me, Bill, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to do it. This is how I want you to live. This is how I want you to treat people. This is how I want you to love people. This is what I want you to do and say and believe. The choice becomes mine. I either accept what he says or I do what I want. And every time I do what I want, I get in trouble. I say something that I shouldn't. I do something that I shouldn't. I get ahead of myself a little bit. And so God has to correct me again when I read in his word what he expects me to do. James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And what's going to happen? He will lift you up. We pray all the time, Father, help me. Help me to accept your will for my life. Don't we? In some way or fashion, haven't we prayed that before? Just like Jesus did on the night that he was betrayed. Father, if there is any way that this cup can pass from me, let it be so. But not my will be done, but yours in all things. Sometimes brothers and sisters in Christ need to wrap their arms around us and get on to us a little bit. Bill, you're not doing something right here, and I love you enough to tell you about it. It gets a little awkward, doesn't it? But if it's out of love, you need to hear it. Because, see, that's how we grow. And that's how we grow together as a family. So receive correction from God and others. And lastly, walk through hard times. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Hard times are going to happen. Could be an unexpected job loss. Could be a financial crisis. Maybe it's a sudden diagnosis. A loss of some kind. But what we need to remember is God is always working. We have to stand in our faith and walk through those hard times. Listen to what Romans chapter 8 says, starting verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. How do we grow strong roots? Six things. And it's not an exhaustive list. Hide God's word in your heart. Pray. Love and pray for your enemies. Make Jesus the boss of your life. Receive correction from God and others. And walk through hard times. For For those of you who are trying to find your place in the church, your place is already there. You just have to step in and take it. If you're 25 years old and you look around the room and you see all of us older ones that are established, this church is just as much your church as it is for the oldest person who's been here for the longest amount of time. This is your church. Find your spot and fill it. Own it. And own it right. For you parents, these are some things that we've talked about that you can help your kids. You can help your kids develop their faith and begin to grow their roots where when they're ready to leave home, they can stand. Josh is leaving tomorrow for an internship in Kentucky.
I'm excited about it for him. For one thing, my food bill is going to go down tremendously over the summer.
I'm excited for him, though, because he's going to get out on his own for a little bit. And I have to trust, Jay and I have to trust, that we've prepared him enough to be away from home and do what he should do. And do what he knows he should do. Just to be a Christian. As we conclude tonight,
I want to direct you back
to what Scott read us at the beginning, John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into fire, and burned. The tree's source of life comes from its roots. Our source is Jesus. Nothing should be allowed to sever that tie, to sever that connection between us and Jesus. And that's up to us. That's up to you, the individual. The choice is always yours, whether or not you take care your roots. And you will find out how strong your roots are when you're challenged, when your faith is tested, when hard times come. But if you've done some of these things, you will be prepared because you have trusted God to be your Father and you trusted Jesus to be your Savior. There may be someone here tonight who has not named Jesus as your Savior through baptism. The forgiveness of your sins. Why not do that tonight? There's a lot of us in the room who have made mistakes. Maybe we need to make those mistakes free and clear in front of all of our families that love us. If you have a need that we can help you and pray for you with, please come.